Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated, and I have an absolutely fabulous call for you this evening. And as you heard, many of the guests ringing in have also been speaker guests. I heard Don Ferrantino, among many other people. I have some great guests lined up for later in the summer. On July 12th, I will have self-made millionaireess C.G. Siddons as my guest on the call. C.G. is unequivocally one of the most exceptional women I've ever had the privilege of coaching, but also watching her rise to free enterprise. Her success in free enterprise has been absolutely a story that you're going to want to hear. C.G. is a first-class, exceptional woman. I will be interviewing her on Tuesday, July 12th. Later in the summer, I do not have a date set specifically, but I spoke to Lisa Myers, who is the personal assistant for Dr. Joe Dispenza. Dr. Joe will be in a call with me this summer, and I also have on my desk the contract for April 15th, 2017, Dr. Joe. I've been working with my I've been spending quality time with Sandy who is assisting me to book a venue in New Jersey, and we're in the process of finding the ideal location to host that event. We will only have room for 500 seats. It's going to be a venue for only 400 to 500 seats for Dr. Joe next April 15th, 2017. It sounds like a long way out, but it actually isn't. We're within 10 months of that event, so tickets will be going on sale in the next month or so, and that is definitely an event you will not want to miss. I have an absolutely fabulous call lined up for you tonight on reading people, how to better understand people's predictability, how to read their energy, how to understand how predictable people are, and how to be able to have more quality conversations, and how to have a better understanding of why people do what they do. Before I do that, I'm going to cover a few quick announcements and move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. For those of you who have participated in my two prospecting clinics this spring, those are evergreen products, meaning that you can purchase that product at any time and still have access to the recorded calls. I have one more live call that you can listen to coming up this Monday, and all four of the calls are recorded. The call also and the membership also includes additional bonus products. And you can go directly to our Facebook page, Jeffrey Combs Live Prospecting Clinic 2.0, and take advantage of that. And if you still want to purchase that product, it's called prospectingclinic.com. That is where you can find access to be able to purchase that product, be a member of the group, and receive many of the bonus products. I also spoke to my producer about 11 years ago. I conducted my only live prospecting clinic, and I recorded that content, and some of you have the download of it. It's on an 8-CD set called Prospecting from the Heart. I'm going to be combining the best of the best of that CD set and trimming it down to one CD, one download that will be available later in the summer, Prospecting from the Heart Live. I'm bringing out a lot of my old prospecting tools and new tools and assisting people to become better, much better at asking the questions in the sequence, better to qualify people for your products, benefits, features, and services, and being more present and in the moment. In tonight's call, I'm going to cover some of those skills that will allow you to be an effective reader of people's energy. This Saturday in Orlando, Florida, for the first time in a little over a year, I will be speaking right near the airport. It's going to be a fabulous event. Colleen Olitsky is one of the hosts, and also Allison Schlitt, those two exceptional women who are clients of mine, are hosting their first ever event in Orlando, Florida with me. Saturday, July 9th, my first speaking engagement in July will be Bozeman, Montana. July 16th, I will be in San Francisco, California, which is actually going to be Pleasant in California, the East Bay. July 23rd, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And July 30th, I will be in Marina del Rey. August 20th, I will be in Albany, New York. August 27th, Philadelphia. September 8th, 9th, and 10th will be the Fall Breakthroughs to Success Workshop. There are two remaining Breakthroughs to Success. If you are a coaching client of mine, you have not attended a Breakthroughs to Success, you have access to one of those for free. You may attend that in the fall, in September, and or in December. I'm going to be in Clark, New Jersey with Don Ferrantino. Don and I are going to be speaking together several events this year. Clark, New Jersey, Don is the host of that event. September 24th, Abby O'Neill and I will be in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. October 1st, Jeremy Angle is hosting me in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. First time I've spoken in Milwaukee for 6 years. Thank you very much, Jeremy. I'll be in Long Island, October 8th. I just put that event up. Don Ferrantino will also be speaking with me. October 15th, Columbia, South Carolina. Those are some of the events that I have scheduled up into October. Almost all of my remaining dates are billed and booked, with the exception of two. I'll be releasing those last few dates in the next few weeks. What I'm going to do now is, before we move into the inspirational portion, anyone that would like to take advantage of a free 15-minute coaching session, you may do that by accessing me on Facebook by sending me your number, or you can call me directly at 209-932-0227, 209-932-0227. And I've been doing 15-minute calls for the last 18-plus years, going on 19 this fall. This fall will mark the anniversary of entering my 19th year in free enterprise of being a success coach, mentor, inspirational speaker, and best-selling published author of 5 books. I've coached over 60,000 hours, 11,000-plus clients, and I routinely have a 12- to 14-week waiting list. And I guarantee you that tonight's topic I definitely understand, as I've assisted people to understand this, how to effectively understand people, how to effectively read people, how to understand this, that human beings are predictable. And the more you understand people's predictability, the more power you possess. Not the physical power, but the emotional, etheric power to be able to understand and intuitionally understand why people do what they do. You may have heard the term meet people where they are. As you begin to let go of your anxiety about outcomes, as you have a better understanding of the 16 personality types broken down into 4 personality temperaments, the more you understand how relatable some people are and how relatable other people are, the more you let go of your perceived pain of being rejected and or abandoned, the better you will become the opportunity to not only connect with people, ask them questions, but be able to relate to people. When your energy is very cool, calm, and relaxed, you're not in anxiety. You're in love, joy, bliss, enlightenment, prosperity, reciprocity. You're in the present. You're in the now. When you're in that type of emotional energy, you're not sending a mixed message. You're present. You're here. You're available. You're here, and you are now. When you're in an overwhelmed, emotionally intoxicated state based on a series of events that have become your identity, then you're telegraphing a mixed message, sending a signal from your anxiety. When you're in anxiety, you're transmuting energy from a very low level of etheric vibrational energy, meaning that you're telegraphing a mixed message, virtually saying to someone, please join me, but don't, I'm not sure if I can lead you. As you begin to let go of the mind-body connections, the events that shaped your feelings, which become your beliefs and your identity, then you'll be present. As you're present and begin to understand the inner game of business, the inner game of business is a direct correlation of people. Your products, benefits, and features are going to be wellness, vanity, benefits, features, services of value that you're marketing in free enterprise. Even if you're a restaurateur, a salesperson, you're selling mortgages, you're selling real estate, you're a real estate investor, it's very important that you understand who your consumers are, who your buyers are, who's going to benefit from your products and services, who are the qualified buyers, who are the disqualified buyers, who are the skeptics, and most importantly, why they do what they do. As you begin to understand how people have been conditioned to behave, and you start to understand how and why people buy, then you start to have a higher law of average in your favor. On my desk is a book called Reading People, a New York Times bestseller written in the in the mid-90s by Joe Ellen Demetrius and Mark Mazzarella. Joe Ellen Demetrius is an exceptional woman. She has a PhD, and she was hired by Johnny Cochran and Robert Kardashian and that whole team of attorneys to assist them with picking the O.J. Simpson trial. And if you know anything about law and juries, it's very important that you start to understand who is on that jury so you can understand how to persuade the outcome. Now, the more you understand how predictable people are, the more you can intuitively read a situation for what it is. But if you continue to be and stay in an I don't know state, I don't understand state, and you continue to ask, how do I do this, because you have an employee mindset, an employee mentality, then you will have challenges building a leverage business, building a culture, or building a team. And as you start to let go of what you believe is difficult and start to understand what you're doing is new, then you can move into a place called metacognition, where you can observe objectively without personalizing a situation. As you're able to move into that brainwave state, you're able to move more frequently into your limbic brain, and you'll spend less time in the neocortex of your brain, which is your thinking, reasoning, and analyzing brain. That portion of your brain is very important in your intelligent brain. But when it comes to people, it's more than intelligence, it's emotional intelligence. It's your responsibility not to set people up to disappoint you. If you set people up to disappoint you, then they will fulfill your feelings of low self-esteem and you will be and stay disappointed. As you learn to meet people where they are, as you don't set them up to fail, as you start to understand why they do what they do, when you receive a teammate into your team, your objective is not to get them, G-E-T-T-H-E-M. You're not a getter. You're a soul having a human experience. Your objective is not to get them to a position. Your objective is to meet them where they are, find out if they have clearly defined goals about their product's experience, the benefits and features that you are marketing, and if they have any dreams that you can fulfill through some of the outcomes that you can create with them in a win-win situation. But when you take them on and you don't want them to fail, because you have anxiety about failing yourself, then you've already set the situation to fulfill those feelings of low self-esteem. There is no risk when you are committed. I also wrote a post today on Facebook. There's no chance you can possibly relapse when you're committed to your sobriety. But when you're interested in success, then you're in doubt. When you're in doubt, you're in a dis meaning not belief, and that is a sense of uncertainty that will attract to your reality people and situations to fulfill that feeling. For you to effectively be able to read people, you must be able to read yourself. But when you continue to live in an I don't know state, I don't understand state, I don't understand what happened to my childhood, my whole childhood was a blur, when you live in that kind of denial, then you can't possibly be objective. To be an effective reader of people, it requires objectivity, not positivity. Being positive is a very overrated state when it comes to success. It is a component, but it's much more important to be inspired and then understand the inner game of your specific vocation. If you're going to be a musician, then you have to understand the music industry. If you're going to be a musician for hire, then you have to be hired. If you're going to be a musician that's a songwriter, you have to be able to market your songs effectively. If you're going to be an on-stage musician, then you have to practice being on stage and master the inner game. But if you're on the outside, you'll never be on the inside. If you talk yourself out of success, you'll be unsuccessful. As you begin to let go of the control that keeps you out of control, now you can be present. As you begin to be aware, your emotional etheric energy raises. Your awareness creates an emotional vibration that's conducive to attracting people of like mind. One or more of like mind becomes your mastermind alliance. In the laws of attraction, as you begin to understand who you deserve to have in your team, who you require to have in your team, not who you need, but who you are committed to attracting, your law of averages will increase, meaning that you'll have a better understanding of why people do what they do. So let's break down statistically what happens in life. There's an 80-20 rule. About 80% of any culture, 80% of any team, 80% of any organization, 80% of your culture will only produce about 20% of your results. 20% will produce about 80%. Now, we're starting to break down this key term, the LOF, or the law of the few. Only a few people succeed in any endeavor, and you want to understand that you're going to be one of them. When you commit and let go of your doubt, then you've changed your energy. But when you're uncertain, you'll stay in a very low emotional vibrational state, attracting your reality, people to fulfill your disappointment. And then you will continue to say to yourself, I don't understand why this happens to me. It happens to you because you're emotionally addicted to a set of feelings that keep you overwhelmed. You'll attract your reality, people of like mind, to fulfill those feelings. As you begin to let go of the control that keeps you in control of being overwhelmed, you move into a different emotional state. That state of awareness allows you to have a better understanding not only of why you do what you do, but why others do what you do. I have a signature event called Breakthroughs to Success. It is not an event I sell to the outside populace. It's a very intimate event specifically for my coaching clients. The nature of the event is not the kind of content I want to take to the populace. I want that to be in an intimate spot for people that I'm in a tremendous level of energy with, where there's a connection. Because in that kind of connection, then there's trust. As you begin to trust your feelings, then you're no longer going to feel overwhelmed. You won't rely so much on your left brain, on the neocortex of your brain. You'll rely a lot more on your limbic brain, where your innovation and your creativity is. As you begin to understand how most of society is checked out, 80%, practice those two words, checked out. A large percent of society is checked out, meaning they're overwhelmed. Now, that overwhelmed part of society is typically that part of society that isn't receptive to what you are going to market that represents change. As you begin to understand that change is reserved for people who are committed, not people who are interested, and you begin to give more energy into that sector of society, then you will give less energy into this, what my friends think. I'm really, really fearful of what my friends and family are going to think. I ask my clients this all the time. Who are these people? Well, who are they? I will ask my client to be specific about this person they're giving power to. Typically, that person that they're giving power to is someone who's a broken soul from a broken home, who typically is overwhelmed financially, is in a lot of liability debt, does not own a business, yet my clients tend to give power to these situations. As you're no longer that mind-body connection to those situations, then you can begin to attract a different type of person to your reality, but most importantly, you can learn to read the situation for what it is. When you're able to read a situation for what it is, then you're not overwhelmed and you're not anxious. Then you're not also giving your power away. And as you begin to do this, you become much more skilled at multitasking. You're much more skilled at reading situations for what it is. You're going to be much more skilled at being able to have a conversation that's more conducive to the outcome you seek, because you're not only not telegraphing your feelings, but you're not creating gaps and delays in your communication. So here's what you want to be attentive to when you are seeking to attract teammates, a soulmate, or someone in your circle of influence that you desire to collaborate with. This can be a soulmate, a friend, someone you're seeking to have in a club, a culture, someone you want to go fishing with, someone you want to go hunting with. Whatever it is you want to do, you want to be able to attract people that not only are positive, but people who are inspired. But if you come from an energy called guilt or shame, you're going to attract other people who are typically in that same energy to fulfill the same feelings that you are familiar with. In the laws of attraction, you're going to attract your reality where you are coming from emotionally, where you're coming from in anxiety, where you're coming from in fear or doubt. As you begin to let go of those feelings, it opens up your awareness so you can understand this. A large percent of society is in anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, overwhelmed feelings. A large percent of society telegraphs their feelings from anxiety, fear, and doubt. How can you spot these people? They typically have challenges creating eye contact. When asked a question, they typically tell a story. They often forget the question that's asked because they lose command of their emotional state and they stay in control of the conversation by talking a lot. People who tend to talk a lot tend to forget where they are in a conversation, and they continue to ramble. Now, the average attention span of the average person is around 28 to 31 seconds, sometimes 45 seconds, 2 minutes occasionally, but most of society begins to check out around 30 to 45 seconds. So if you're one of these people that does a lot of talking, you typically will talk people out of getting to know you. You'll talk people out of being in your team. You'll talk people out of using your products and services so you can fulfill the feelings that keep you in anxiety. As you let go of your anxiety, you can begin to spot why other people in there are in anxiety. It's events that shape feelings. Feelings become a mood, and mood becomes an identity. As you begin to identify with other people's identity, then you have a much better understanding of who is a probable prospect, someone who will have a better product experience. As you start to understand someone who wants to be in your team, I was coaching one of my clients tonight, a brilliant woman who is a top-tier sales professional in the insurance industry. She was telling me about one of her prospects who was considering joining the organization, and the person was asking questions that my client said she walked out of the office because she could tell this was not the right fit for what she was seeking. The woman was telegraphing how uncommitted she was. She wanted to know how much time she had to spend. She was asking questions that were telegraphing that she wasn't really right for this position. And my client thanked the person, let them go diplomatically, and moved on because she could tell by her telegraphs. A tell means someone telegraphs their feelings. Professional gamblers understand this. This is typically why great poker players wear hat and sunglasses, so you can't read their tells, their clues. They don't give off signals. People are predictable, and the better you get, the more you'll understand why people do what they do. When you ask someone a question in person, their left eye iris goes up and out, meaning they're typically going to tell you a story. They tend to drop their dominant shoulder, raise their non-dominant shoulder, meaning if they're right-handed, they raise their left shoulder. Oftentimes, we'll check out and laugh when nothing's funny. Now, pay or be attentive to how frequently it is people laugh when nothing's funny. When you come to one of my events, I will ask people this. I'll make a point, and there's a percent of the room that will check out and start laughing, and I will say, is that funny? I do it in a very deadpan statement, not confronting anyone hostily or abrasively, but asking a very clear question. There's a difference between a direct question and a clear question. Many people will misconstrue me in thinking I'm direct. Actually, I'm not. I'm clear. I understand who I am and what I'm seeking to achieve in communication, conversation, a relaxed business forum, etc., even someone sitting on the plane. I'm clear with the questions I ask with the person next to me, even when I'm having a GOFC, a good old-fashioned chat. I'm leading the conversation, not dominating it, not controlling it, leading it, creating connecting skills. As you begin to do this, you can tell who's receptive and who is not. I sit in first class on every flight that I fly around the United States. I routinely fly about 155,000 air miles. About 120,000 of that is on United. The other 30 to 35,000 is on various airlines. Virgin, American, well, that's it in today's world. Virgin and American and Delta. And when I sit down on an airplane, I'm attentive to who's around me. I pay attention to how people stack their luggage. I watch what they do with the seats, how they stack their stuff. I can see who's a chaos and a drama addict. I can quickly tell who the alcoholic is in my circle of influence as they're pounding down brewskis, pounding down buds, having double Jack Daniels. I once sat next to a guy on the way to the Super Bowl, and I noticed that he had five Jack Daniels and two Canadian clubs. They ran out of Jack Daniels. He was drinking it with 7-Up. That was 7 from Charlotte to San Francisco. The next day was the Super Bowl. He did not get intoxicated. I spent a good portion of the plane trip conversing with him. He did all of the talking. I found out everything about him. I found out what colleges he went to. Multi-millionaire in the telecommunication industry. He knew about a company called ACN. He was considering starting his own company. He was weighed 310 pounds. He was not receptive to releasing weight or starting another business in the network marketing direct sales industry. I found all this out by asking him a few questions on a plane ride. You can unequivocally do the same thing by doing this, becoming skilled at asking, being attentive, becoming a master listener, hearing what's meant, not what is said. So how do you become skilled at this? Repetition and experience. Is all I have to do is just, no, you're not justing. You don't just talk to people. You ask people questions. You become effective at a relaxed interview. You're attentive to body language, signals they send off, tells, eye iris. Does their eye iris move? Do they check out? Do they laugh when nothing is funny? What does that mean when they laugh when nothing is funny? Typically, it's a checkout based on a past event, based on someone who's passive-aggressive, or they weren't able to get someone's attention as they're growing up. They laugh when nothing is funny because they're anxious. It's not a nervous laugh. It's an anxious laugh. That anxiety laugh creates a spike. It's a placebo effect. It releases autonomically. It releases a dopamine release followed by a spike that drops down into cortisol. It typically takes this person 3 to 12 seconds after they've laughed to come back in their body in that checkout. When you ask someone a question and they use a sound to start their answer, followed by a preposition, well, and they and throughout the conversation, this is a telegraph that typically they grew up with someone to put them in a position that they validate, justify, or explain themselves. It's not always a parent. It can be a brother, can be a sister, can be a grandparent, but whoever they spent a large amount of their time with that they couldn't please would put them in a position that they had to explain themselves. So they neurologically check out, takes them about 3 to 10 seconds to formulate a feeling into their words, and they typically have challenges being clear in their communication style. Now, this is a large percent of society. Around 65% of society has this kind of communication. It means they have a gap and a delay in their communication. Now, that person will typically have challenges selling or being in business on themselves because they're more conditioned and told what to do. Can they overcome this? Of course, anyone can, provided they are committed, not interested. People who are committed have a different kind of communication style. People who are committed typically have a shorter attention span. They have a shorter communication style. They typically can get their point across in 15 to 30 seconds. When you ask them a question, they don't check out. They answer it. And these are the kind of people who typically can decide quicker. They typically are more emotional and less logical than the other type of society. They will tend to give less and produce more. A large percent of society will tend to give. About 65% of society, their emotional state is conducive and conditioned to give. These are the kinds of people who typically over-obligate, do too much for others, tend to have codependent tendencies, and have challenges producing and performing on their own. They're typically great service people, people you'd want in an organization. They're product consumers. Oftentimes a product consumer can overcome this situation and can become a top-tier producer in the right culture. Anyone can succeed, however, most people won't because they won't pay the price of success. They will pay the price of regret. Most people will tiptoe quietly through life, arriving at their grave safely, shooting themselves to death, wishing they could have. But once again, here's what you want to understand. You don't know who that's going to be. This is why you meet people where they are. Now, you've heard the term, don't prejudge people. There's merit to this. But while you're not prejudging people, you're also reading people for probability and predictability. Human beings are predictable. Watch people's communication style. The people who can communicate and articulate their feelings have a much higher probability of being able to produce and operate on their own because they tend to be more self-directed. They don't have to be redirected or directed. They are self-inspired, self-motivated, self-reliant. And why do you want these people in your circle of influence? Because they tend to do and be more with being unsupervised. And so the more awareness you start to understand about people, you will start to understand your first impressions. Your first impression, now this has to be an intuitive impression. There's a difference between an intuitive impression and a judgment impression. A judgment impression typically comes from your own doubt or your own reflection and refraction. If you immediately don't like someone, oftentimes there's more to it than what's going on the surface. Oftentimes you won't like someone because you don't like something about them that reminds you of yourself. So that's not an intuitive reading. That's more a personal reading. When you personalize situations, then you'll set people up to disappoint you. Then you can say, I knew this would always happen. Now, when your first impressions are from your gut feeling and from your limbic brain and from your know, when you K-N-O-W, as you begin to know what you know, then you won't doubt what you know. But when you live in doubt, then you'll have challenges making first impressions. This is typically when you'll either avoid a situation or you'll blunder into a situation and you'll create, and then you'll get over, you will tend to get overly inspired for someone and you'll get emotionally intoxicated by them. It means that you have shiny object syndrome. And when you start to get in that kind of energy, then it's very easy to get attached. Now, being detached and being attached, there's a middle ground of it. I mean, of course you want people to succeed. Of course you want people to join your culture. And so the term be detached doesn't always have merit. You want to be inspired for people, but you also want to be able to meet them where they are. Your objective is not to control people. Your objective is to collaborate with people. Your objective is to be able to understand people and meet them where they are. And your objective when you're communicating with people, especially when you're prospecting, connecting, presenting an opportunity, is to find out if this person has a problem you can resolve. But when you start to try and control the situation, then you start telling yourself, this person needs what I have. And so when you start telling someone, you'd be really good at this, then you're overcomplicating the situation. You're not reading the situation, you're controlling it. Typically what you end up controlling is your disappointment, because that person tends not to comply with what you thought they would do. You tend to put too much energy into their future success that does not happen. You will tend to over-obligate yourself and do too much for this person because you're coming from your own low self-esteem. When you are in power, you stand alone, not stand alone from... That doesn't mean you won't attract anyone, but it means that in your power, you're not using force to try and control the outcome. When you try to force someone into a situation, you're going to create a counterforce to fulfill your disappointment. As you begin to let go of that type of control, it changes your energy. It allows you to read a situation for what it is. Now, your reading a situation from what it is comes from two places. It's going to come from your intuition and your extrasensory perception. Your extrasensory perception is a heightened sense of awareness coming from a place called enlightenment. As you become highly enlightened, you live in a higher level of know than most of society. That know is spelled K-N-O-W. And in that know what you know, and you don't doubt what you know because you know. You don't have to explain what you know because you know it. When you don't have to explain, then you're not an addicted validator justifier. Then if someone tries to put you in a position to knock you off your what they perceive a pedestal because they're uncomfortable with themselves, then you don't fall prey to those tactics because you don't feel rejected. When you're humble, when you're in true humility, you can't be humiliated. When you're unequivocally humble with who you are, then you won't be rejected. You won't feel rejected. And you won't get in the ring with people. You don't feel compelled to validate, justify, and explain yourself. As you move into awareness and let go of your unresolved anger, then you won't be angry at situations that you feel you can't control. As you learn to meet people where they are, you understand their predictability, and you watch what they do, not what they say. The older Andrew Carnegie created this statement. It shows up in one of Napoleon Hill's great books, Think and Grow Rich. Carnegie is quoted for saying, the older I get, the more attention I pay to what men and women do, not what they say. I'll repeat that. The older I get, the more attention I pay to what men and women do, not what they say. What does that actually mean? It means you watch what people do, not what they say. You watch the people who commit and follow through. You watch the people who don't commit. You don't commit people. You ask people for commitments. The more you're skilled at asking for commitments, you can read the situation for where it is. When someone says to you, is a sound, not a word. Well is a preposition to lead a sentence, which grammatically isn't even correct. When you start to pay attention to the sounds that people use that aren't words, okay is an acronym that many people use that's not a commitment. Okay, 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 yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, Y-E-A-H, uh-huh, U-G-H hyphen, H-U-G-H, uh-huh. These are sounds, not words. Your subconscious doesn't separate fact from fiction. It does exactly what you condition it to do. If your words are law, then use words that are empowering and committed and decisive, and let go of words that are uncommitted, that are in doubt. A large percent of society, this is another tell, this is so good when you get this. A large percent of society inserts the word guess mid-sentence, not knowing they're even doing it. Now, you won't pick up on this if you're checked out in an overwhelmed state, and you use guess like the rest of society does. When you use words that are unclear and uncertain, you won't be able to read the other people that do the same situation. A large percent of society in their sentence structure telegraphs their doubt to you, but you would have to be attentive and listen, hear what's meant, not what's said. Here's how you can pick up on this really quickly. A large percent of society will say kinda, sorta, not even knowing they're saying it. So when someone says that to me when I'm coaching them, I will say, is that kinda, or do you commit? When someone uses that kind of language when I'm coaching them, I'll point this out to them so they can change in the moment, so they can let go of their doubt, so they can live in faith. If you live in fear, you can't be in faith. You can't need to commit, because need to commit is a contradiction. You commit. You don't commit with a future tense situation and try and commit in something you haven't committed to. When you're committed, you won't fail. There is no failure in commitment. It's just like in sobriety. When you're committed to your sobriety, you won't relapse. You'll relapse because you'll doubt whether you can do it or not, and that's what most people do. A large percent of society telegraphs their doubt by their language. I'd kind of like to do that. That sounds interesting. Are you interested? Are you committed? You close sales and move people to a commitment by asking for it. But you would have to let go of your anxiety about offending someone, making a mistake, being judged, upsetting your friends, family, and broke souls from broken homes in those situations. Did you begin to let go of the anxiety? One of the most common commonalities and emotional energies that people use to keep you in control of their control is guilt. Now, if you have family members or people in your circle of influence that use guilt to control you, and you feel guilty in their guilt, then you're guilty being guilted. I mean, that sounds preposterous, doesn't it? However, a large percent of society operates in this. They can't move to wherever they want to move because their family uses guilt to guilt them into staying where they live, because they'll be guilty if they leave. And I would feel guilty. Why would you feel guilty? Well, I don't know. If you don't know why you do what you do, why do you do it? If you don't know, then you're living in denial. You can't read a situation for what it is when you don't know. When you do know, now you know. As you know, now you trust. Trust and know are synonymous in spirituality. As you know, then you're not in doubt. When you know, you will not be denied. When you know, you can read a situation for what it is. But when you keep saying, I don't understand, I don't know why I do this, how can you possibly read a person? Because you can't read yourself. The person you really start to understand is you. The more you understand about why you do what you do, the better you will be and stay at being yourself. When you start to master the art of being yourself and you start to break the habit of being your old self, then you are you and you are free. Until you're free of your ego and free of your anxiety, then you will be in a body that stays in pain, creating diseases in your body, being overwhelmed, checked out, wondering why you are inflexible with certain situations, wondering why you do what you do. As you have a better understanding of why you do what you do, then you can let go. Letting go is separate your feelings from the events that shape them. As you begin to let go, now you can pick up on why other people do what they do. That's called metacognition. When you're an objective observer in why people do what they do, then you'll have a much better understanding of it. Who's a prospect, who's a business partner, who's someone who's serious, who's someone who's going to have a good product experience, who's someone who has a higher probability of staying in the game long enough to master their emotions so they can master the skills required to be and stay successful. When you start to come from that place, now you're starting to understand the psychology of engagement. In the rules of engagement, you must be able to engage not the enemy, but people in your circle of influence. meaning you let go of your anxiety about a story that hasn't happened, and you practice the art of connecting. Connecting means you lead conversations that are favorable. It means you have a good old-fashioned chat. You have a relaxed conversation. You interview someone, find out a little bit about their background. You start to fact-find, rapport build, and create small talk. And as you become a master of this type of communication, then you're checked in, not checked out. You don't have gaps and delays in your communication style. And when someone asks you a question, you could take a word in their question, package it in your statement, end it with a question, and move the conversation along. The sweetest sound to a person's ear is the sound of their name. So if you want to be in a conversation without checking out, use that person's name to answer the question, hook a comma, use a word from the question they ask you, put it in your sentence, and end it with a question. It's simple. 5 to 15 words that end with a question. But when your autonomic left brain automatically goes, yeah, but you've checked out. Now, I ask people today to see if they can go an entire day without criticizing or judging themselves. I ask people to find an accountability partner in doing that, or I said you could contact me at the end of the night to let me know you went an entire day. Now, if you didn't do it today, I'll ask if you can consider doing this tomorrow. I'm not telling you, I'm asking you. Now, when you ask, now you get the chance to read someone. One of the biggest challenges with you doing the talking is you control the outcome of disappointment. You don't get a chance to find out if your prospect or the person you're communicating with has any situation you can connect with, a problem you can resolve. When you do the talking, you're in control of being out of control. When you do the talking, you're not listening. When you do the talking, you're not reading the situation, what it is. And most importantly, when you're doing the talking, you're making the situation about you. When you're in anxiety and overwhelmed, then you're telling yourself, I haven't, so I can't. You rob them of an opportunity. You rob yourself of the opportunity to connect with someone because of the events that shaped your feeling, having a low vibrational energetic state called low self-esteem. You're coming from a place called anxiety, fear, or doubt. You're telegraphing your feelings about 100 cycles per second, 100 units per second, in a very low emotional state. Now, as you're no longer the mind-body connection to those events that shape that identity, that belief, and those feelings, then you are you and you are free. You can now reformulate a neurological network of neurons that wire and fire to create a new set of feelings that become the you you've always deserved to become. I've watched many of you do this in a year or less of coaching with me. Some of you are shaking your heads. I've unequivocally watched many of you reinvent yourself. I watched a few of you go from job to six-figure income earner, a few of you going from job to seven-figure income earner in a calendar year. I've seen a few of you do that in a three-year period. That could be your story. But you may see the glory, but typically what you don't know is the story of what someone went through to be there. Now, for you to be there, you must learn the inner game of people. So your business may be wellness, it might be vanity, it might be real estate, it might be mortgages, it might be internet marketing, but within that business, the commonality is people. The more you understand this, why people do what they do, the more you understand why someone has a very low voice, hi, how are you, I'm sorry. See, when you hear people saying sorry, that's a telegraph. When you hear people saying kinda, sorta, when you hear people saying guess in mid-sentence, when you hear people continue to use the word need over and over, as you start to listen and hear what people mean and what they say, this always happens to me, I never get to. When you hear people use absolutes that talk them out of success, you can also hear people use absolutes that put them in success, unequivocally, absolutely. When there's a certain type of inflection that people commit use. As you hear that in your inner ear, so if you're right-handed, you're going to learn to listen in your inner ear with your left ear. As you lean into a conversation, as you let go of your anxiety, typically when someone's in anxiety, they pull themselves up in their body, they're checked out, their left shoulder, if they're right-handed, is typically up in their body, their right shoulder is dipped. They're very tight in their emotional state. They're conflicted and constricted. They're not emotionally available. When you encounter people who are pissed off in repressed anger, in unresolved anger, it's easy to tell. When you point out to them that they're angry, they typically get really angry. Even when they're angry, being angry, it's amazing. when you start to watch how hostile some people are, they disqualify themselves from the connection because you wouldn't want to be around them. When you start to read people, you can start to feel people emanate. And emanation is a feeling. It's a thought wave that's coming off their body. As you begin to feel it and sense it, sometimes you can smell the vileness in people. You can smell it in them, or you can sometimes smell someone having a release. And if you come to my event, you'll experience some of this, because in my events, the temperatures in rooms change, not because typically of the thermostat, because of the energy that gets transmuted, because of the buttons I'm able to push emotionally, knowing why people do what they do, assisting them to transform and let go, and facilitating a breakthrough on command so that people can let go of an addiction now. Now, I walked away from 14 years of being an addict. I now have over 27 years of sobriety with one decision. Now, for me, the pain was great enough. For you, it's going to be whatever it is for you. As you're no longer that mind-body connection, you can change. You can change when you're ready. Change is a choice. Change isn't hard. Change is new. Change isn't difficult. Change is a responsibility. As you're responsible for your feelings, you'll no longer let other people control them. When you learn to do that, you begin to attract your reality, a different type of person, opportunity, situation, product, service, benefit, and feature that's going to empower you. As you let go of being disempowered, overwhelmed, over-obligated, emotionally addicted to a set of feelings based on events, you will change what you attract. As you begin to change what you attract, you also become much more aware of why they do what they do. You can read it immediately. You can eliminate conflict out of your life. You're no longer seduced or sucked in by emotional, spiritual vampires who want to drag you into the ring of their disappointment. As you begin to let go of people who attempt to provoke you into validating, justifying, and explaining yourself, as you spot that, you can go, well, emotional vampire, no longer playing that game, going to go ahead and let you go. When someone in a conversation goes, yeah, just go ahead and tell me what it's about, and you just open your mouth and create a drunkalogue, well, that means you have no command of your emotional state. When you're able to say, rather than tell you what it's about, I'm going to go ahead and give you a website with a video that's 13 minutes long that you can review. After you've reviewed that content, I'll be able to answer all of your questions. Well, why don't you just go ahead and tell me? I'm not in a position to do that. If you have a pen, I'll go ahead and give you the website. If not, I'm going to go ahead and let you go. When you're not attached to an outcome, and you do it from not being arrogant, not being abrasive, but when you do it from autonomy, then you're not attached. You can completely let go of a situation. Then you don't feel compelled to explain to someone. They say, is this a scam? There are certain situations that I personally disqualify people. You can do it on your terms and your time frame, but there are certain situations, certain tonalities, certain people, and I'm not willing to engage because their energy doesn't qualify for my time. That doesn't mean I'm better than them. What it means is I'm not willing to move into that kind of emotionally intoxicated energy that I used to be in conflict with. As you're no longer in conflict, no longer in anxiety, no longer feel you're going to get in trouble. Now, how many of you avoid conflict, which you think is conflict, because you don't want to get in trouble, don't want to make a mistake, don't want to be judged, don't want to be whatever it is you don't want to be? That's a story. As you let go of the stories that disempower you and no longer serve you, then you're going to transmute a whole different type of energy. As you effectively read people and trust your inner intuition, you're going to find your inner voice. Your inner voice is going to be a different voice than you showed up with in anxiety. When you were JoJo, the Indian circus boy and girl, overwhelmed, emotionally intoxicated, so excited you couldn't get off the launching pad, you had so much brilliance you couldn't monetize it, or you had so much anxiety you couldn't open your mouth, then you're no longer that person that's in an emotionally addicted state. As you start to be you, your best you, one day at a time, as you no longer judge yourself, prejudge yourself, or are highly critical of what you do, and can see a situation for what it is, your energy changes. As your energy shifts and changes, you'll attract your reality in a much higher level of frequency, meaning your law of averages begin to change. Then mythically, magically, all of a sudden, the 2 to 3 people that have been avoiding you, evading you, who the ghost of your prospects that have not showed up all of a sudden mythically, magically begin to show up. These are the type of people who will begin to, with their own self-esteem, self-awareness, self-reliance, and self-awareness, and be able to be a self-starter. These are the type of people who can produce on their own without you. Now, you'd have to let go of your control of not feeling wanted or whatever it is you feel, and be able to relish that and feel liberated that, wow, this is actually starting to create momentum for me. The compounded effect is beginning to happen. As you begin to attract your reality more frequently, people of like mind, people are much more enlightened, people enjoy bliss, love, and awareness, you start to create a different kind of culture. This kind of culture creates a winning culture. This is the kind of culture that creates a spiritual culture. This is the kind of culture that comes together for common causes. These are the kind of people that show up at the events frequently. They keep coming back and coming back. And they plug into the culture. They start to understand the inner game of the culture. This is what will create the compounded effect. This is what creates rank advancements. This is what creates the quantum leaps where the sum becomes greater than whole of parts. Now, it happened to me 1996. This is my 20th anniversary of my breakthrough year. My breakthrough year actually started in 1995. I was full-time in network marketing and direct sales for 6 years, and I had my ups and downs. I had a few home runs, but mostly a lot of challenges. The industry was a lot different than it was then. Phone bills were higher. It cost more to stay in business. Downlines typically didn't stay glued into the culture the same way. We didn't have Facebook. We didn't have the situations we had. We thought it was a technological breakthrough to have a fax on demand. And I wouldn't have it any other way because we thought it was awesome. But we didn't know what we didn't know what you have here. It's not that it's easier here. You have a better situation. And through the speed of light, you can attract with people like this through Facebook, LinkedIn, and all the social media sites. You have some of the greatest prospects in the world waiting for you to find them. But you have to let go of your story that talks you out of that opportunity because of your own low self-esteem, your overwhelmed state, and the story that you tell yourself. As you begin to let go of those mind-body connections, you'll have a much better awareness. You can see why people do what they do. You can have a much better understanding. You hear their disconnection. You can now hear how disinterested. You can also not take situations personal. When someone tells you they're not interested or they're looking for a job, through metacognition you realize that you're not being rejected. They're not interested. You can separate your feelings from the event so you can get a better read on it. I sometimes respond to advertisements that Carolyn Olson writes for a prospecting clinic for me, and some of those ads are placed in places where people look for jobs. Some people are looking for businesses. Some people are looking for jobs. Even though the ad is clearly written stating that it's a business opportunity with straight commission and an investment, there will be people who still answer it looking for a job because they are checked out. And it's in that checked outness in the first few seconds, and I will say, are you looking for a job or are you looking for a business? I'm looking for a job, and they hang up. No, they didn't hang up on me. They hung up. I'm creating the next dial. It's smile and dial, moving to the next situation, looking for the person that I can connect with. As you let go of your anxieties, you can read a situation much easier. You can tell when someone's skeptical. You can tell when someone's interested. You can tell when someone's committed by their language style. When you become effective at scheduling appointments, your appointments are available there. But when you tell yourself no one's there when I, of course no one's ever there when I call back, your of course has been created by past events. It's created a reality. You'll now speak into existence the words to formulate the feelings that keep you disappointed. Of course reinforces it. And then this always happens to me. Now, not me, baby, because my appointments show up. I close sales because I'm a closer. As you start to take on the identity, be the identity, feel the identity of being a finisher, then you're no longer a chronic starter. As you let go of chronic starting, you make your bed, you pick your glass up on the way to the sink, and the parking space is available for you when you go out to dinner. That means that the law of alignment is in your favor. Your vision changes. You're able to see a situation for what it is. Your heightened sense of awareness. You can now see peripherally. 240, 270, 360 degrees. Your heightened sense of awareness creates an extra sensory perception. You no longer feel guilted into situations. You don't hang around with toxic, spiritual, emotional vampires. You're able to read them for what they are. You don't feel guilty about letting them go. You don't use terms like, I don't know why I feel guilty. You're guilty because guilt has become your identity. Guilt is your addiction. As you let go of your emotions based on how you are guilted into submission, then you will learn to have a different level of power and operate in that person you're capable of becoming and being right here, right now. When's the best time to address an addiction? When you're ready to let go, when the pain is great enough. But if you continue to tell yourself, I don't know how hard it's going to be, you're anxious about how you're going to control the future, which hasn't happened, which creates your overwhelmed anxiety, you can't possibly read yourself or anyone else because you're stuck in being yourself. As you let go of the habit of being your old you and step into that person you're capable of being, you'll attract your reality, people of like mind that will come together for common commonalities that you can create a mastermind alliance, one of more of like mind coming together for a common cause. Reading people requires emotional skills. Reading people requires intuitional skills. It's not something you ask me, how do I, why don't you? Why don't you read the book Reading People? Why don't you listen to one of the CDs on downloads that you have in your back office that came with your coaching that you've never listened of mine, Personalities for Success, The Animal Factor? It breaks down the 16 personality types into four quadrants. Why don't you read Please Understand Me by Kiersey and Bates? Why don't you understand or do Myers-Briggs Type Indicator? Why don't you purchase a product called The Art of Speed Reading People? Why don't you buy the book Synchronicity by Carl Jung? Why don't you understand how important it is to read a person for what it is? Watch people's body language. Watch their tics, their tells. Watch how they smile. Watch how they frown. Watch how their communication style checks them out. Listen to the words in their sentence structure. Listen for the kindest, sort of, guess, I don't know. There's a large percent of society that actually ends a sentence with I don't know. When someone ends a sentence with I don't know, they're telegraphing to you that they don't know. When people don't know, they don't know. When you let go of people who don't know, then you'll let people in doubt. That'll give you more room to attract the people who do know, who can commit, who are serious, not curious, and who want to create change in their life. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. This call has officially been recorded, will be available for playback by 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Next week, I'm going to have a fabulous call. I want to thank you for being on tonight's call. We're coming up on the holiday season. Begin to finish this month strong. Finish June strong. This is the six-month point of the season. Jeffrey Combs, thank you for being on tonight's Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset call. You can contact me directly at 209-932-0227, 209-932-0227, or you can contact me on Facebook at Jeffrey Combs. Have a great evening, everyone.